turn with me in your Bibles here then this morning, congregation, and I hope you bring your Bibles with you here to church. You don't have one in your pew in front of you, so please bring them week after week as we continue our study of Daniel, looking here at chapter 7. And you'll notice that chapter 7 brings us into that last half of the book of Daniel, the first half being what's called the historical narrative. Those very familiar Sunday school stories that we've all learned since we were this high. But now here begins the apocalyptic section. The section that sounds so strange to us. And it seems like a light switch has been turned here from chapter 6 to chapter 7. But there's an important connection, and we'll get into that in the message here this morning. Remember the conflicts that we've been learning of and are so clearly displayed in those historical narratives. And remember that conflict that is so clearly also set before us here in this last half of the book. Daniel chapter 7, so beginning at verse 1, congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this morning. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head. He lay at his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. And Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And then as I looked, its wings were plucked off. And it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. The mind of a man was given to him. Behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth, between its teeth, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. And after this I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to him. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flame, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then, because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. And for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away. Their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And as for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me to make known to me the interpretation of the thing. And these four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left of its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. And as I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. And thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former one, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times of the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time, but the court shall sit in judgment. And his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey them. Here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed. But I kept the matter in my heart. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and may his Holy Spirit bless us to our hearts and minds as we consider it together here this morning. I draw your attention to our text. It really is a summary of all that's being taught here, verses 21 and 22. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word brought forth here this morning. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you may lead us and guide us, even with this vision so strange and foreign to our mind, Heavenly Father, so clear to you. Father, we would pray for a rich measure of your Holy Spirit's blessing and power so that we may be given an understanding mind to heed truth by the ear, to look forward to that day when we shall be given the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Father, we pray, grant us this blessing. Work upon us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Even those here this morning who not heard a word yet spoken, and may they hear your word as it is preached even on this day. In your name alone we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though these two sections of the book of Daniel seem so different, there is an important connection between those historical narratives, as I said, found in chapters 1 through 6 of Daniel, and then now the apocalyptic visions, which are found in Daniel 7 through 12. And that connection, beloved, has to do with the antithesis. Very important we understand this and make this connection in our own heads. Or else we'll tend to ignore this whole last section of the book of Daniel, saying it's beyond our comprehension. It's not, beloved. The ongoing, seemingly never-ending conflict between the two types of people found in this world, the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent, which was so obvious to us and which we brought out repeatedly as we started through those first 6 chapters of this book. That conflict, these last 6 chapters of Daniel tell us, is continuing to go on in the heavenly places between the powers of darkness and the throne of God. Here in chapter 7, we see the kingdoms of this world trying to align themselves against the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. As I mentioned, these last 6 chapters of Daniel are known as the apocalyptic section of the book. And so as we begin our study of this important part of the book of Daniel, it's an imperative for us to understand the purpose behind apocalyptic literature. So let me briefly go into that now. It's important because, you see, this apocalyptic literature is found not just here in the book of Daniel, but the book of Revelation, as you're well aware. The last book of the Bible is all apocalyptic in its nature. And then parts of Ezekiel, also in the Old Testament, are very apocalyptic in nature. And apocalyptic literature, we must understand, arises during those times in the history of God's people on earth when they're being sorely oppressed. When they look out at the world and it seems like the devil is winning. Beloved, who's to say that we're not in one of those times right now? It seems to me. And so at those times, the biblical writers were led to bring hope and comfort and blessing to God's redeemed people. But how did they do so? Using mysterious, even at times scary language and imagery. But you see, they do this on purpose, congregation, because do people who are being persecuted by the world, pushed aside by society, to those who are being discredited and marginalized by forces much bigger than them, to those who desperately need to hear a word of good news, the biblical writer comes to them and admits that, yes, kings and kingdoms of this world are indeed scary at times. To those who hold the reins of power can often be beasts, monsters of cruelty. But one day, the Lord God Almighty, that great Ancient of Days, was put on display for us here in our passage this morning, will hold all these monsters accountable to Him, and they will pay. One day, all evil will be rooted out and put away forever, and the true ruler of this world and His King will prevail. So you see, this message of all apocalyptic literature for the Lord's exiled and marginalized, downtrodden people is that one day, on the last day, God will act decisively, sovereignly, to bring in His new and eternal age of glory, a kingdom prepared in advance for His redeemed and special people. But until that day comes, conflict exists upon this earth. The antithesis is all around us. And all of that's exactly what we see in this chapter before us this morning. God gives to Daniel what Sinclair Ferguson in his commentary calls a complex, multicolored, sensory feast where human depravity is put on display, and the curtain that normally veils God's wondrous glory is briefly drawn back so that we can have a glimpse into the very throne room of God. Here is our hope. Even when our world falls apart around us, Daniel's vision begins with a vivid picture of universal, worldwide chaos. And here we see the depravity of man. This is the first point of the message this morning. Look at verse 2 with me. And listen closely as these beasts are described. Verse 2, and I saw in the vision, Verse 2, Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was was told, "Arise, devour much flesh." And after this I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I'll stop there, congregation, and understand that oftentimes in biblical literature, the sea is used as a symbol of chaos and rebellion. It's used in that way because, you see, it was the home of horrific monsters and strange, misshapen creatures. The people of Israel were landlubbers. They had no ships. They didn't go out onto the sea. The sea was a scary place to be because of all those strange things you could haul up with your net. And so it is displayed for us here as well in Daniel's vision. And from the sea, four misshapen creatures appear. And notice how each beast becomes ever more strange and frightening than the one before it. That means, you see, that in this world, these monsters will go from bad to worse. Now, many commentators at this point spend much of their time trying to decipher and to pinpoint the correlation of these four beasts to the various kings and kingdoms that arose around the time that Daniel lived on this earth and the years following after him. But, beloved, I believe that Ian Duda, in his commentary, is correct when he says that we do not need to do this because the angelic interpreter of Daniel's vision does not do this. Now, it's true that in verse 17, the angel, in interpreting the vision for Daniel, does state that these four beasts represent four kings. But he does not go into any sort of explanation which details which kings those are, or which kingdoms you can expect to arise. Beloved, you see, this tells us that a proper understanding of this vision does not rest upon us resolving which beast is which kingdom. Instead, the angelic interpreter, take notice, focuses all of his attention upon the true king who rules over all of these fearsome and horrible beasts. And hints of this greater truth are found even in the first verses which describe these beasts, if we will read them carefully. And this is what I want us to do here. For example, take notice in verse 4, we're told that this first beast had its wings plucked off, and that it was lifted up and made to stand. In other words, beloved, you see, something else, someone else, is acting upon this beast from the outside. In verse 5, the second beast was told, "Arise, devour much flesh." Someone else is giving commands to this beast. And in verse 6, we read about the third beast, that dominion was given to it. You see, there's an outside force that is greater than all of these beasts which is acting upon them. So these beasts, you see, as great, as powerful, as scary as what they might be, are not independent entities, sovereignly doing as they please upon this earth. No, in fact, far from it. They serve the purposes of the one who's ultimately in charge of this earth, the one who is greater than them all. Is exactly what the rest of God's holy word tells us all through scripture, doesn't it, beloved? How sin, as horrible and monstrous as it is, and all the results that we have to face and live with in our lives, sin has always and will always serve the purposes of our sovereign God. It does not act on its own. These four beasts are simply emblematic of how there will always be pagan kings and sinful kingdoms who align themselves with evil and who seek to squash God's people and to run their own lives. But these beasts will change shape and form as the centuries pass, but their inner drive remains the same, a hatred of God, of God's people, and of God's ways. And so if you're one of God's people, you're going to face this hatred. That's the antithesis. That's what we're called to face as God's people on this earth. And isn't this exactly what we see as we look back down the hallway of human history? How in Daniel's day, a Nebuchadnezzar arises, but then so does Darius after him, and then after him, and then Alexander the Great, who overtakes the world. And then in the New Testament church age, the Emperor Nero arises, persecutes horribly God's church. And then that leads to a Domitian, and the Emperor Domitian, who also persecutes, and then to a Diocletian, who had the most heinous of persecutions of all the Roman Empire, or emperors. And even in our own day, some of our own members sitting here this morning can remember how a Hitler leads into a Stalin, who manifests into a Kim Jong-un of our own day. All who hate the church of God and God's ways and God's people. So this continual presence of beasts upon this earth, that shouldn't surprise any of us here. For our own human hearts have not grown better and better down through the centuries, have they? That's what the liberal enlightened thought tells us it should happen, claims it still will happen. But no, what do we see instead? Because of our fallen nature, our human heart only descends deeper into sin as time goes on. Corruption and evil only grow worse, turning more beast-like with every passing day. The Apostle Paul tells us that that is what we should expect. In Ephesians 6, he warned that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and the cosmic powers of this present darkness. You see, that's exactly what Daniel is portraying to us here in vision form. How Satan, the great dragon, the ultimate creature and ugly beast, is the driving force behind these puppet kings and kingdoms. Beloved, given that truth, that would be good enough reason for us to go hide in our closets, wouldn't it? To lie awake at night and worry. If we were the ones who had to go out and slay these dragons, fight these conflicts, and take care of this evil all on our own. If these monsters we had to fight, we would have no hope. We should go run and hide. This is exactly why the main message of this passage needs to be heard by us. The message of the angelic interpreter in Daniel's vision must be heard and kept in mind. And that message is found beginning at verse 9. Take a look at that with me. Verse 9. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flame, its wheels burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked, then because of the sound of the great birds, the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. And as for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Stop there, congregation. Here is the second point of the message this morning, the glory of God. It's on full display for us here in this passage. In the midst of monstrous men, beastly rulers, we must keep our focus upon our sovereign God, the Ancient of Days. That one who will one day ascend the bench of divine justice and pour out eternal retribution upon all his enemies. And this truth is set before us in really what is astounding detail in verses 9 and 10. Beloved, it's important we take notice that in these two verses we have the most complete picture of God's appearance in all of Holy Scripture. This is the closest we have to seeing God in all of the Bible. And don't pass over this quickly, for here is the God that every one of us will meet one second after we die. This is what we'll see. Notice what we're told about God in the middle of verse 9. His clothing was white as snow. It's an imagery of uncompromising holiness. His hair, like pure wool, symbolizes all-encompassing wisdom. He knows everything about you. His throne, fiery flame. Flames in Scripture are a symbol of purity, absolute purity. His wheel, burning fire. Notice how purity built. It's like a warrior's chariot rolling towards his oppressors and taking retribution out against his enemies. A river of fire comes out from him. He's surrounded by innumerable angelic servants just waiting to do his bidding. Now try to picture this in your mind's eye, beloved. And what does all of this mean? Realize this is very typical apocalyptic language. You see, God knows that living in this fallen world as we do, a constant sensory stream of pagan propaganda assails us and tempts our heart. The pull of earthly glory, the tastes of temptations, the smells of sin, they overwhelm our senses and invade our soul. But Daniel, in these verses, with this glorious depiction of the Ancient of Days, is painting for us a competing picture for us to dwell on and to remember. A picture that reveals to us the true world that yet awaits us all. Here in living color is who we will be and what we will experience in the real life that is to come after this life is over. So yes, in this life, the devil looks to be powerful. He dangles before us the brightly colored but wholly worthless baubles of this world. But in verses 9 and 10, Daniel sets before our eyes our eternal prize, which is worth our full attention in this life and demands all of our hearts. And added to Daniel's vision in verses 13 through 14, we must notice, is the coming of the Son of Man on the clouds of heaven. You'll remember that when our Lord walked this earth, that very phrase, Son of Man, was his favorite, even his exclusive title that he used of himself. And it comes from this exact passage in Holy Scripture. But arriving on the clouds of heaven, understand, and appearing before the Ancient of Days all on his own, as clear symbols of divine authority. So this is the divine meeting the divine. So our Lord, as he lived upon this earth, when he takes this title to himself, he's really telling everyone who will listen to him that God himself is in their midst. His second coming to this earth will not be the same as his first. We're very familiar that at his first advent, he came as that helpless babe of Bethlehem, humble and humiliated, nailed to a cross, rejected by men. But when the time is right, Christ will return to this earth on the clouds of heaven with power for every eye to see, every knee to bend before. And on that day, he will be carrying a sharp sickle of judgment in order to harvest souls and separate the wheat from the chaff. That is the message that cannot be forgotten by us, even as evil beasts and monstrous rulers rage all around us still today. This world operates under the principle of he who yells loudest gets the most attention. He who has the most power rules. And that principle often works down here in this fallen world, sad to say, beloved. From viruses to political elections to Black Lives Matter, issues and causes scream out to be heard, vying for our full attention, demanding our devotion. But in the middle section of chapter 7, the Ancient of Days presents himself to us, and he says, no, remember, causes and issues which might seem so strong to you, to your eyes today, all come and go. They'll pass away, but one day you will be called to stand before me to give an account of your life. And where will your hope be found then? Beloved, that takes us to the third point of the message of the sermon tonight, the message of the angel. And it's a message that's repeated twice because Daniel, you see, so typical of our own fallen human hearts, seems more fascinated with this fourth beast than he is with the God who controls and ultimately slays this beast. Beginning with verse 15, we see Daniel wondering about the meaning of his vision. And so he approaches one of those angels standing before the throne of God. And what is he told? Verse 16. Let's look at that together. Verse 16, I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the thing. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. And notice how this angel is not nearly as interested in the four beasts as he is in stressing the certainty of the ultimate triumph that God's people will one day know. And yet Daniel is still enamored with this beast. Verse 19, then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, and its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companion. Notice the angel does answer Daniel's curiosity in verses 23 through 25, although he doesn't really relate anything new that kind of builds on what he has already said about that fourth beast. And notice how his interpretation, though, how he ends it in verses 26 and 27 by once again reiterating the main point, the ultimate triumph of all of God's people, and how all those who will trust in the Lord really have nothing to fear in spite of these beasts. Look at that passage, verse 26. But the court shall sit in judgment. That's the Ancient of Days with his throne brought in. The court shall sit in judgment. And his dominion, that's the dominion of the fourth beast, shall be taken away and be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Can you hear, beloved, how this angelic interpreter is simply just reiterating, even in more forceful terms, his earlier point about the judgment of those who stand in opposition to God, how they'll be brought to an eternal end? And then the great blessing that awaits those who choose to side with the Lord. This is the main point that we must keep in mind. Ian Duguid again puts it this way in his commentary. It is as if the angel was saying, Daniel, you're missing the point. Yes, this horn will assault God's people, and it will be hard for a time for God's saints who dwell here below. But one day, all will be made right. The beast will be tamed, evil will be destroyed, and the people of the Most High God will prevail. This is how we get through the trials and the pain and the hardships of our life. It's hard here below. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, and he reiterates to us the end time, how there will be a time of a great tribulation. Things will go from bad to worse. Will I even find faith when I return upon this earth? That's how bad it's going to be. But God's people must continually look up to their Christ, to their Savior, who will see them through. And beloved, we must hear this same message still today. For we too still live in times of modern day beasts, don't we? But we must not forget that the Son of Man has come and defeated the greatest beast, Satan himself, upon the cross of Calvary. Because he bore our sins in his body on the tree, we have no fear of the day when we will stand before the great Ancient of Days. For our Savior, Jesus Christ, has absorbed God's full wrath against our sin. The eternal debt that we owe to God for those sins was placed upon Christ's shoulders and was carried away forever from us. And so therefore, beloved, no matter what monsters you face, whether they be life or death, angels or rulers, height or depth, remember, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8. That's the comfort that we have as God's people in this world. We rest secure in the arms of our Almighty Savior. And you see, that's exactly what our text teaches us. Look at those verses. 21 and 22. As I look, this born made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Things are bad on this earth. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Beloved, one day we will possess that kingdom. We will serve our God for eternity as we ought. But until that day comes, do not let the beasts of this world sidetrack you. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you.
Thank you that we can have this opportunity to worship you,
to understand better these great truths about you and your sovereignty, and how you rule and reign even over sin and great beasts and monsters of this earth. Father, we pray, it is sin not gaining the upper hand in us. May you save us from ourselves so that we might truly serve you aright. And Lord, transfer blessings give your guidance to these, your people, as they face these monsters in the world around them. Help them, bless them, and lead them as only you can do. Give your grace, grant your guidance. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.